The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great Thursday morning. We are a week away from Thanksgiving, and I don't know about you, but I've always loved Thanksgiving. As a kid, Thanksgiving was such a fun time for our family. My aunt and uncle visited from Southern California. They lived in Bel Air, California, bought a house there up on the hill by all these movie stars in 1962, I think. And as kids, we would go visit Uncle Harry and Aunt Regina, and it was always so fun as we would drive up the hill to their house. Their house wasn't very big, but it was on the same street as the Beverly Hillbillies mansion and the Dean Martin's house. We'd drive up and they'd say, oh, that's where Dean Martin lives, that's where Roger Moore lives, that's where Ronald Reagan lives, and all sorts of folks like that. And so it was a lot of fun, and they would come every Thanksgiving and we would have a great time with them. So I've always loved Thanksgiving, loved being out of school for a couple of days there and just being with family. Well, today I want to talk about a host of things. Obviously, the big news is the Epstein files. President Trump signed to release all the Epstein files. The verse that comes to my mind with that is the verse in Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. You know, nobody ever gets away with sin. You know, in this life, sometimes you could say, well, maybe O.J. Simpson. You say, well, O.J. Simpson, all the evidence shows that he murdered Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. And I guess he got away with it because he was found not guilty of that crime. But everybody has to stand before God. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Nobody gets away with sin. God shall not the judge of all the earth, Genesis 18:25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? Yes, the judge of all the earth will deal justly. And one day we're going to have to all stand before God and give an account of our lives. Christians stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema judgment. That's a place to receive reward from the Lord. He's going to evaluate our Christian life. What did we do in the power of the Holy Spirit? Anything done in the power of the Holy Spirit, that will remain. That's gold, silver, precious stone. And what is done in the Christian life in the power of the flesh is wood, hay, and straw. It'll burn up. That's for a Christian. And Paul said we must all appear as believers before the judgment seat of Christ. And then he goes on to say, 2 Corinthians 5:11, therefore knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. That ought to drive us to walk with God, because we know we're going to have to give an account one day. Matthew 25, the master gave to his servants 1 5 talents, 1 2 talents, 1 1 talent. And the implication is, do business with this until I come. And then they had a day of reckoning with the Lord. What did you do with what I gave you? And that's for the Christian. We are going to have to give an account to the Lord. What did we do with the time, talent, and treasure and the opportunities the Lord gave us? Now, for an unbeliever, they meet the Lord at the great white throne, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. It's a judgment of horror. It's not a judgment of reward. It's a judgment of justice. There's no grace at the judgment at the great white throne. There's only justice. And books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And everyone was judged according to their deeds. and anyone's name, if it was not found written in the book of life, was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, nobody's name is written in the book of life at the great white throne judgment. And people who think they can be good enough to earn heaven, they're going to find out, sadly, at the great white throne judgment, just how sinful they are. So we all have to give an account. You don't get away with sin. And the release of the Epstein files and those who are guilty of terrible, horrible crimes against these young girls, well, they ought to be brought to justice. We pray that that would take place. And, you know, I saw a clip the other day where somebody was talking to Adam Schiff and was telling him, listen, you're going to face God one day. And you've lied about a lot of things, and you need to get your life right with the Lord. And Adam Schiff never said a word. But, you know, I was thinking to myself, that guy's hearing, he's hearing the truth. Now, whether it was done in a good spirit or not and delivered in love, I don't know. It was, the guy was speaking truth to him, but that's true for every single person. You're going to have to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God who gave you life, to give an account. As the Lord says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, all souls are mine, and the soul who sins will die. Well, another thing that was in the news today, I woke up this morning, got an email from David Holder, one of our staff members, and it had to do with news from the world of the Southern Baptists. And the state convention here in Texas called for so many years the Baptist General Convention of Texas. I think now they call themselves Texas Baptist. But they met for their annual state convention, and they voted yesterday, November 19th, to elect Debbie Potter, an ordained woman. And I believe she serves as the children's pastor at her church in Trinity Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas. She defeated Kevin Burrow, pastor of First Baptist Church in Eastland, Texas, by a vote of 430 to 320. She was licensed to the ministry in 1998 and ordained in 2005 with a background in education and child services. And she is the first ordained woman to serve as president of this state convention. Now, I was doing a little research on AI. As you know, I like to talk to the X-platform AI Grok, and I said, is this keeping with complementarianism and the Southern Baptist Convention's statement of faith ratified in the year 2000? And the obvious answer is no. No, electing an ordained woman as president of the Baptist General Convention of Texas is not in keeping with complementarianism, as that term is commonly defined and practiced within conservative evangelical circles, including the Southern Baptist Convention. So, complementarianism, if you wonder what that is, that holds that men and women are equal in worth and dignity, but they have distinct complementary roles. In its most common form, it teaches that the office of pastor, elder, overseer is restricted to men only, based on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Those are the qualifications of a pastor. This is what Timothy said. It's not ambiguous. It's not unclear. It's not something just rooted in culture. Timothy says this, or Paul says to Timothy, likewise, I want women to ordain themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. So it has nothing to do with culture. It has everything to do with creation. God created Adam, and then he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable to him. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and took from the man flesh and bone from his side. And from that, God fashioned this beautiful, amazing creature called woman. And when Adam saw her, he was excited about it. And he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, Isha, because she was taken out of man, Ish." Man is Ish, woman is Isha. "And the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." He gets her back, so to speak, as one flesh. She was taken from his side so that they can be together, so that he can have his arm around her, so she can be close to his heart. As the illustration goes, God didn't take from Adam's foot bone and flesh from his foot so he would stomp all over his wife. He didn't take from Adam's head bone and flesh so that she would rule over him. She's not to be his ruler, she's to be his helper. And a woman has a distinct role in the home, and a man has a distinct role in the home, and a woman has a distinct role in the church, and a man has a distinct role in the church. And it's not a minor thing to say, well, we blow all that off, you know, whatever Timothy said, about a woman is not supposed to teach or exercise authority over a man, and the qualifications of a pastor, he's the husband of one wife. Well, obviously that leaves a woman out. We just kind of blow that off because, hey, it's the year 2025, and so we don't really care about that stuff. Well, John MacArthur, who is in heaven now, he is a hero of mine. I don't follow him on his Calvinism, but I do appreciate him greatly on the way he took a strong stand for Scripture. This is why he says this issue of complementarianism is so critical.
The women's movement has basically just erupted in the church, and the last frontier for the movement is the evangelical church. The last frontier to fall victim to the rebellion of feminism along with cultural Marxism. Perhaps women pastors and women preachers are the most obvious evidence of churches rebelling against the Bible. I can't think of anything that's as far-reaching and transcends all denominations as the woman's rebellion against the Word of God with regard to women preachers. Women who pastor, women who preach in a church are a disgrace, and they openly reflect opposition to the clear command of the Word of God. This is flagrant disobedience. It has been acceptable in our culture and now acceptable even in the evangelical world.
Well, as he says, it's just open rebellion against what God says in his word about the church. It doesn't mean that men are better than women. It just means men have a certain role and women have a certain role. Just like in the home, Debbie and I were blessed with three daughters, and there's no way that I could have done a good job raising those girls by myself. Debbie was key. She's the glue of the home, but she wasn't in charge of the home. She was the assistant coach, and God made me the head coach. And so if our home did poorly, God, the owner, he talks to me, the head coach. Hey, you're in charge of the home. I gave you that responsibility. What is going on here? Oh, Lord, my wife is just terrible. She's not doing this. She's not doing that. She's not doing the other. It doesn't work like that. You know, when an owner of a professional football team, when that team is losing, he talks to the head coach. And the head coach can't say, well, it's not my fault. It's the offensive coordinator's fault. It's the defensive coordinator's fault. Well, the owner would say, you're responsible because you're the head coach. Hey, guys, you're head coach of team family. And just as it is in the home, so it is in the church. God has said, hey, the male, the man, men are to lead the church. Men are to be the preachers. The women help them because women were created to be helpers. But the women don't assume that position of leadership and of rulership. And so to have elect a woman, first ordain her in 2005 as Trinity Baptist Church in San Antonio did, and then in 2025 to elect her as president of the state convention, that is just so far beyond the pale. So that's what's going on today. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about women serving as pastors. The Baptist General Convention of Texas just voted yesterday for an ordained woman. She's a children's pastor in San Antonio at a Baptist church there, ordained in 2005. Well, they just elected her to be the president of the state convention. And man, just such a slap in the face, in my opinion, as to the issue very clear in scripture about I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Now, this isn't the first time that the Baptist General Convention of Texas has had a woman as their president, but it's the first time they've had an ordained woman to serve as their president. And that's a big issue in the Southern Baptist Convention and the National Convention about women serving as pastors. And we played that clip from Johnny Mack. I have another clip from John MacArthur concerning that issue. Now, some people say, what's the big deal? It's not that big a deal. Well, what does God say in His Word about His church? See, we don't do church any way we want. We do church the way God has laid it out to do it. It's just like when they would move the Ark of the Covenant. There was a specific way they were told to move it. And you didn't just move it any old way. You moved it according to the way God ordained it. They tried to move it in a different way, and it ended up in Uzzah being killed because they had it on oxen and it was about to tip over, and Uzzah went, 2 Samuel chapter 6, Uzzah went to catch it so it didn't fall, and the Lord killed him on the spot for his irreverence. I mean, who are you to touch the Ark of the Covenant? You have to do things God's way. Here's what the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, famous passage about choosing a pastor. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, bishop, elder, pastor, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, wanting to fight all the time, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household well, how will he take care of the church of God and not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil? And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, it's very, very clear from that passage of Scripture, he's talking about men. I mean, as we said, if you're going to be the husband of one wife, guess what? You're a man. You're not a woman. And that doesn't mean women are second-class citizens in the church. They're not. As I stated, just like in the home, a wife is not a second-class citizen. She is key. She's instrumental. I couldn't have made it without my wife, Debbie. Debbie is such a great wife, such a great mom. She held our home together. But as I stated in the first segment, I was responsible before God of how the household went. because that is the responsibility he gave me. Now, John MacArthur was asked, he's been asked this question when he was alive, asked this question a lot because he saw this as a huge problem in the church. And so he was asked directly about women pastors. What do you think about women pastors? Why is that a big deal? And this is what he had to say.
Well, I think it's absolute. I permit not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over a man. If a woman wants to know anything, let her ask her husband. There's no ambiguity in that whatsoever. And it's not any kind of commentary on the spiritual equality of women. Of course, in Christ, we're all one. There's neither male nor female. It's not a commentary on women as something less than. It simply identifies them as different than. Men are given the responsibility of leadership throughout society. I mean, that's God's design for marriage inside and outside the church. So again, I think it's kind of the Eve issue. You know, Eve got out from under Adam and led the whole human race into sin. Women are designed by God to be helpers and to be protected under the headship of their husbands. And that is played out throughout the scripture. And in particular, if you look at the Bible, for example, 66 books, none of them authored by a woman. That is a pretty compulsive case for male leadership. You have 66 books, none by a woman. A couple of them had to do with a woman, Esther and Ruth, but not written by a woman at all. So I think you have illustrations of that. And then when you come to the apostles, none was a woman. There were women who traveled with Jesus and who served and who were discipled by him and who did all kinds of ministry. But none of the apostles was a woman. We don't have any women ordained in all the New Testament churches. We don't have them ordained as elders. We don't have them as pastors. Romans 16 talks about them as servants or deacons. So they have a role to play, equal spiritually, but their very defined role is different than that of a man. So what reason would there be biblically to overthrow that? I look at it as a rebellion. I look at it as a rebellion generated by a hard attitude of self-promotion, not because somehow you found a verse hiding somewhere in the Bible that changed what you thought was the truth.
So that was John MacArthur talking about this very issue. Now, some say, hey, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. It's not that big of a deal. Well, here's why it's such a big deal. Because once you depart from the way God said to do it, then it's you embark on a slippery slope. It can be Katie bar the door for other things that are very clear in Scripture that are no's. Give you an example. So in the Southern Baptist Convention, you had the conservative resurgence that took place in the late 70s and the 80s, and conservative presidents like Adrian Rogers and others, Charles Stanley and others like that, began to be elected. And people began to notice, hey, the seminaries are all, they're starting to water down the scripture. They're saying that Genesis chapters 1 through 11, you know, it's just myth, it's just story, it's just fable. And there was a big, big problem in the seminaries. Now, if you poison the seminaries with liberalism in any denomination, you poison the seminaries and then you poison the pastors. You poison the pastors, and then you poison the churches. And so many churches are conservative, but if the seminaries embrace liberal theology, eventually those churches will be liberal. I'll give you a case in point. So I'm going to seminary at Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. The president was Paige Patterson at that time. This is in 1996. And so one of the reasons we went there, Wake Forest, North Carolina is a cool place, but we went there because I admired Paige Patterson greatly because he stood up, he's a warrior for the truth. And so we go there. Now, the seminary had been super liberal before that time. And when you have a liberal seminary, the churches around there, especially the smaller churches that get seminary pastors, well, they get hit with this liberal theology. So that I go to pastor a church. I'm invited to pastor this church called Brown's Baptist Church in Norlina, North Carolina, and I start preaching there. And then they want to call me as their pastor. And I remember one of the guys that sat down with me to interview me, he said, "You're that controversial preacher." I said, "I am." He said, "Yeah, you're controversial. You preach that Father, Son, Holy Spirit stuff." And I said, "You mean the Trinity?" I said, "That's controversial here in this church to believe in the Trinity? That is basic Christianity 101. But they had been fed all these seminary pastors over the years, and they started to question everything, and even, you know, whether God the Son was really God the Son. It just blew me away. I couldn't believe it. But it's a slippery slope. So give you an example. When things started moving in a conservative direction in the Southern Baptist Convention, well, the Baptist General Convention of Texas, they didn't like it at all. Other conventions didn't like it. And they said, "Well, phooey on you, SBC, we're going to start our own national convention." And they started the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. And it began in 1991 or somewhere abouts there. And it was a moderate, big tent alternative to the SBC. Conservative, this is according to Grok, conservative on core doctrines, but rejected inerrancy, absolutism, and complementarianism. Strongly pro-women in ministry and pro-local church autonomy. Okay, so that's how they started out. 10 years later, or, you know, 10 to 20 years later, solidified as egalitarian, meaning there's no difference between men and women. They don't have complementary roles. A woman can do anything in the church a man can do, began hiring openly affirming LGBTQ staff and missionaries in partnered roles, and then in 2012 to 2018 shifted from, quote, welcoming and affirming, unquote, as individual practice to official policy. And in 2018, lifted the ban on hiring LGBTQ persons for global missions and leadership roles. And from 2018 till now, fully affirming on LGBTQ inclusion, ordains and marries same-sex couples in many partner churches, theologically progressive on sexuality, increasingly open theologically. Some partner churches lean mainline Protestant, still identifies as, quote, moderate Baptist, unquote, but now widely regarded as liberal slash progressive in evangelical terms. So in short, they started moderate, became egalitarian, became LGBTQ plus affirming, now functionally progressive mainline in practice. It's a slippery slope. That's where you go once you say, you know, we don't like the way the Bible words this. We don't think this is right. So we're going to do it our own way, the way that sounds good to us. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 18, the people were saying, "The way of the Lord is not right." And you know what the Lord's response to that was? "Is my way not right?" No, it's your way that is not right. But they kept saying that, the way of the Lord is not right. And the Lord says, "Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore repent and live." You know, the Bible says Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25, it's the same verse in two different spots. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Just because it seems right to you doesn't mean that it is right. God's ways are right concerning everything. It says in Psalm 119, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, and it's all about the Word of God, and the rabbi said Psalm 119 was written by David. We don't know for certain, but David's as good as anybody, and it's all about the Word of God, and in one of the verses in Psalm 119, he says, I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. I shared with the church just a couple of sermons ago. Lifting up your hands is the universal sign for surrender. You know, if you're fighting with another country and you don't speak their language, if they come out from their bunker with their hands raised up, you know they're surrendering. It's a universal sign for surrender, your hands lifted up. And the writer of Psalm 119 says, Lord, I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to surrender to your commandments, which I love. Your ways are right concerning everything. As the Lord says, Ezekiel 18:25, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the ways of God and the Word of God. And what does God have to say about women serving in pastoral leadership in the church? Women being ordained, women serving as pastors, women leading a whole convention of pastors and churches. What does God have to say about that? Well, it's very clear what God says about that. But when we come back from the break, I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. You may totally disagree with me, and that's your prerogative, but I'm trying to stay true to the Scripture. And so when we come back, if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And so give me a call and let's talk. I want to be kind and respectful to you, and I hope you'll be kind and respectful to me. You know, Christians can disagree on certain things, and we can disagree strongly, but we don't have to be disagreeable.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Hey, I wanted to let you know about MediShare. You know, healthcare costs are going up, and MediShare has open enrollment right now. And so if you're in a situation where your premiums are just, more than you can handle, I encourage you to check them out. MediShare has been a good partner with American Family Radio, American Family Association for many, many years. And so you can go to MediShare. Let's see their email address here. Well, if you just type in MediShare, I had it. Oh, here it is. Nope, I lost it. It was on my sheet, but just type in MediShare, MEDI-SHARE, and you can find out and get a quote and see if they could be of help to you. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we've been talking about the issue of women as pastors, ordaining women. We've been using as the springboard for this discussion the fact that the Baptist General Convention of Texas yesterday at their annual meeting voted to have an ordained woman. She was ordained in 2005 at Trinity Baptist Church in San Antonio as a children's pastor. She has been voted in as the president over all the pastors and churches, the president of the state convention. And I find that just mind-blowing. But that's what they voted. And that's a big, big issue as we've been discussing. So if you have a question or comment, I'd love to hear from you. And we have Steve on the line from Arkansas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the topic. Appreciate your ministry and all you do.
Thank you,
quick
sir.
Question along these lines. Totally agree with you on the complementarian thing. But as a small group leader in a Southern Baptist church, a couple of guys rotate to teach. We had a very biblically knowledgeable lady in the class that also wanted to be able to teach mm-hmm. in that co-ed small group. And I wrestled with that. I couldn't figure out exactly what to do.
Yep.
Talked to a lot of different people, got different opinions from Holy Spirit-filled, conscientious people, and I hesitated on it. I couldn't get comfortable with it, and I'd be interested in your thoughts.
Yeah, great question, Steve. I've had similar situations, and I like you, wrestle with that. I do think that when you have a male that's heading up the class and people recognize this is the leader of the class, that you can have women that are involved in teaching underneath that guy's umbrella. I think that's okay. I don't think that's splitting theological hairs. I mean, God has gifted a lot of women to teach. Now women teach other women. My wife and Chris Schroeder's wife, Rochelle, they teach women, and they're teaching today. They're having a Thanksgiving series in the month of November for the ladies, and they do that periodically. Every month or two, they'll have a series and designed for ladies. They do a great job. Debbie's a great, great teacher, and so is Rochelle. And so I would have Debbie periodically get up on the Sunday morning with me, and we'd talk about marriage together. When we did family life marriage conferences around the country, we spoke with Family Life for 15 years. We would speak together. And but I think people recognize, and I think this is, before the Lord, I think this is fine to do when the husband is in charge and the wife is there helping him and speaking to the ladies and giving insight too to the guys about, hey, here's how your wife thinks. And so when it comes to those kinds of things, marriage kinds of things, family kinds of things, Debbie would often speak with me before the church or in a conference. And I think in your situation that as long as they know, hey, this class is led by a guy, but this lady also has some good things to share, I personally think that's okay. Now, some people could disagree with me on that, but I don't think that is in violation of the scripture.
All right. Jeff, I appreciate your insight, dude.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it, buddy. All right. We have Nancy on the line from North Carolina. Nancy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. My observation was pretty much the same as the gentleman before me. I teach Sunday school at our church, but I also for about 35 years have taught Teen Challenge. And I initially started out teaching the men, and about midway through, I really struggled with that scripture. But then through prayer and research, the Lord showed me that as long as I was under the headship of the director of Teen Challenge, as long as I was under the headship of the church pastor, that it was okay for me to teach and now I'm teaching Teen Challenge women. So, would you agree that as long as there's a headship of a pastor or a director, that's okay?
Yeah, I would. And that's, you know, Teen Challenge is not necessarily, you know, it's obviously not a church setting, so to speak. And so I think you have a little bit more leeway there. But I just want to say, Nancy, I appreciate the fact that you're very sensitive to that. And, you know, in my experience, women that are that love the Lord and really want to follow the Scripture, they are sensitive to that. And they're like, Lord, I don't want to overstep my bounds. And you think about it like in the home. A wife's role in the home, because you can, you know, the Lord established the home before he established the church. A wife has a lot of leeway and latitude in the home in a good loving relationship where the husband lovingly leads his wife. But she knows her place is not to usurp him. And any home where the woman, quote unquote, wears the pants and calls the shots, that's a dysfunctional home. And that's not going to be good for the kids, because that's not the way God designed it. But now, like in our home, Debbie is a lot better at paying bills than I am, in terms of being very exact with the checkbook and all that stuff. And so when we first started out, it was like, hey, I'm going to do this because I'm the man and that's my responsibility. And then we started to really look at, okay, what's she good at? What am I good at? I'm going to be, you know, ultimately in charge and responsible here. But if she's better at this than I am, let's let her do that. And so I think that there is freedom there, even in the complementary roles. And ultimately, it's the, you know, the man that's responsible for it, the man that is overseeing it, he's the authority of it. And if a woman can really add a lot from the teaching standpoint underneath his authority, I think that is permissible. So that would be my two cents on that, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the questions. Great question. Well, we have Melba on the line from Arkansas. Melba, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jay. I appreciate you so much. I've learned so much from your sweet spirit and your style of teaching and preaching. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, my comment is really in the form of a question. I really would like to comment on the previous callers, because I don't think women ought to be teaching men in any form. I've taught about my whole adult life, school and in church, and when I taught high school, we met together, boys and girls, but then we had a male go in with the boys and a female go in with girls to separate and to take that stand that I think is appropriate because of the Scripture. And when I taught the oldest ladies class, which I now would be a member of instead of observing, I used to go over my lesson with my husband, and he would say, I wish I was in your class. And, of course, that just tickled me to death. But I knew that I would never agree to teach men. Mm-hmm. It just was not in my heart and my conviction. And thank you for letting me say that. But my real comment that I gave your screener was about Paula White. Mm-hmm. Because ever since early last year when you talked about it, I think several times, I kept hoping to hear that some of those fine men would say, we're not supposed to be doing this under the leadership of this woman. Mm-hmm. And she may be the only woman in that group, I'm not sure. And I kept hoping I would hear you tell of some, you know, comments like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Well, would you comment on it?
Yeah, great question, Melba. Yeah, obviously that's an issue. Paul White has bad theology to boot. And so, you know, I don't know what those guys, Robert Jeffress and Jack Graham and Franklin Graham, I don't know what they have said to President Trump or to Paula White about things. I get the feeling that those guys are just looking for opportunities to speak into his life. And so they're not necessarily trying to blow the thing up. But I don't know that for sure. But, you know, there are those that try and make the case that Trump is a believer. Trump has not ever said anything that would make me think he understands what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. He said a lot of things that make me understand that he doesn't know what that means. He thinks it's works-based, like the majority of people, vast majority of people think that. 52% of self-described Christians think you get to heaven by your good work. So it's not a huge surprise that Trump thinks that, even though no doubt people have told him. I know point blank, O.S. Hawkins told me, Franklin Graham has told Trump, he's shared the gospel with Trump. But for some reason, you know, unless the Holy Spirit illuminates the message, you can't see it. And so I pray for President Trump. I do think he likes Christians and he gets Christians around him. I don't understand his affinity toward Paula White and why he listens to her. But, you know, we can just pray that that God would break through there. But, you know, it's you bring up a good point, Melba, and I appreciate your sensitivity, just like the last caller, to want to make sure we do things according to God's standards and make things right and to be pleasing to the Lord, to not just be pragmatic, but to be biblical and to say, Lord, we want to do these things your way. So God bless you, Melba. Thank you for that. I hope that was helpful to you. We have Henry on the line from New Mexico. Henry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Shree?
Doing good. How are
really
you?
Enjoy your program. Really
thank you.
But thank you. My wife has been having a little debate, I guess, on this right here, and it's been a phenomenon that's been going on. I mean, I've seen it in many churches, not just Baptists or anything, but when they introduced themselves, they said, we are the pastors of the church. You know, the husband and the wife, and they call her pastor as well, you know, and I was saying, you know, does that not cause maybe division that maybe the women will flock towards the wife and the men will flock towards the man? You know, I'm not too sure on that right there. That's the kind of, I'm not, you know, I've tried to research, see how that's going, you know, but I know it's something that's going on, and I don't know if it's something that's infiltrating the church that, you know, Satan is trying to do something with the church, you know, to divide.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely think that's probably true, Henry. And you know, when I first started seeing that, you know, guys would have billboards and stuff with their wives and, you know, pastor so-and-so, and whether they listed his wife as a pastor or they just had her there. You know, at first I thought, well, they're trying to communicate the fact that we have a solid marriage and this is a church where we're going to, you know, be pro marriage and pro family. And so that was giving them the benefit of the doubt. But I think that it's gone a lot further than that. And in a lot of churches, yeah, they do list the wife as the pastor. I would think in most instances, the church didn't hire the wife to be the pastor. And guys that start their own church, now they set it up however they want. But the message is clear from Scripture that the woman is the helper, she's not the head. And so the husband is to be the head. He's to be the head in the family. He's to be the head in the church. And it would make absolutely no sense. Now, it's very, very clear in Scripture that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. I mean, it says that explicitly in the New Testament. So it would not make any sense at all for someone to say, well, in the home, the husband's supposed to be the leader, but in the church, she can be the leader. No. What is the church? It's the household of God. And so he wouldn't set up the family unit different from the way he sets up the church unit. And so the husband is the head in the family, and the husband or the man is the head in the church. And he's the one that God has called, and to do that, she can serve in lots of different capacities, and definitely teaching younger women how to be a godly woman, a woman of virtue, and a woman who supports her husband, and a woman who leads her family along with her husband under her husband's leadership. Women have a huge role to play, and women tend to be a lot more sensitive to the Lord than men. And so we can learn a lot from them. And husbands, I get so much strength and encouragement and blessing and insight from my wife. You know, Pilate would have done himself a great service if he had listened to the voice of his wife, who said, "Have nothing to do with this just man, because I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." Well, we're out of time. I'm sorry to the other callers that we didn't get to you, but thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. If you want to reach me, just go to PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.